This morning we have a guest preacher who I've known for quite a few years, Reverend Gordon Ruddock, and he will be sharing God's Word with us this week and next week. He is a chaplain at Peace Health at the Sacred Heart Riverbend, and he's been there for about 15 years. And his training was at Multnomah and then Western Seminary. He was a pastor at various Baptist churches and then was an elder and leader at Grace Community Fellowship for a very long time. And he's married, has three kids and nine grandchildren. One of his sons went to elementary school with Lynn. And so our family's had a connection with him for a long time. To some degree or another. So we're very grateful that Gordon is with us today and that he can share God's word with us.
Make sure I got this thing on. I do. Good. All right. I'm really glad to be here with you folks today. I've been looking forward to this. I don't get to preach much anymore. We don't need me in our church. We have enough preachers now, I guess. So I don't do that. I work as a hospital chaplain, as Brian mentioned, and I work at Riverbend. And I'm in my, just started my 15th year now, and I have seen over 20,000 patients. And what a great privilege that has been in my life, continues to be. I'm still doing it. Tomorrow is my first day as a per diem. I'm moving from full-time chaplain to very part-time chaplain. Because my wife informs me we need to go do some things while we still can. And I agree with her on that. And I've been doing it a long time and I'm a little tired. Well, not bad, but there's some other things I'm doing too. You know, I'm just kind of, I'm retiring a little at a time, okay? The plane is starting to get closer down, but it's not there. But now it's kind of going back up again, you know. And she says, when are you ever going to be done? And I said, well, I don't know. She said, I guess you'll be done when you're done. And I said, pretty much, you know. I can still do it. God still, and I love it with all my heart. So, you know, as we look at the words of the songs today, they just have so blessed me because that's a lot of kind of what we're talking about today. I want to talk about slippy parts today, all right? You've never heard a message on slippy parts. I want to talk just a little bit more about my son, Josh. I have two daughters and one son. And my son just turned 45 on the 6th. I want to tell you about him when he was 5, okay? We had just moved to Eugene a couple years before that, so it's now been 42 years ago we moved to this area. We've lived in our house now for 40 years, which is 30 more than I asked God for, but it's been a great gift. Anyway, our kids, all three, went to a grade school close to us, and I remember back to a day when I wasn't working that day. I was working at Fred Meyer as a produce manager, and Josh needed to get to school. So I walked him to school. I walked him down our street, and we took the shortcut through Crystal's house, through her yard, because that was okay to do, and walked over the, I guess it's called the stile, little steps over this fence, and walked down the gravel road, and there was the school. And so it saved you like 4 or 5 blocks walking. Well, that day we're doing this thing, you know, we're going up over that, and it was a little bit wet. Can you imagine it's wet sometimes in Eugene? The wood was a little bit wet, and as we stepped on there, Josh went, woo, you know, just his foot went flying out of there, and guess what? He did not fall. You know why? Dad had a hold of his hand, you know, so he just kind of went swinging around a little bit, if I remember right, and I'll always remember what he said to me afterwards. Touches me. Oh, everything touches me. But anyway, he said, thanks, Dad, for holding me in this slippy part. I said, you're welcome. I want to talk about slippy parts today because it's important. You know, all the wonderful things that we're singing this morning. All those are true and good, and all that's true. But you know what? I end up in my job with people who are in the middle slippy parts all the time. I worked yesterday. I've had 4 months off. Took all my vacation time, 500 hours of PTO, because it built up through COVID. I never took any during that. And I've had 4 months off, and all of a sudden I've been back 2 days. Last Saturday was the first day. Yesterday was my third day, I guess, second Saturday. And from the minute I got there, the first 4 hours was spent with a family, a guy whose wife died yesterday from a brain bleed. All out, just from, out of the blue. She was fine the night before, and then boom. That's my real world, okay? It's people who struggle with life, what goes on. And so I'm there with it, you know. I'm trying to help people in the slippy parts. Life surprises us. It confounds us. It confronts us. It crunches us sometimes, doesn't it? If you've lived any length of time at all, you know that. And we can get hurt in that. We can fall down. A couple years ago now, I was walking down a stairway from the fourth floor where I work over in OHBI, and I went down to emergency a different way. So I went down a stairway that I never go down. It was a cement one, you know, wide stairway. And I had my hand on the railing, and I'm walking down, and the sun came through a window really bright, and I couldn't see how many steps were there. And guess what? I miscounted, and I missed. And I kind of spun around sideways a little bit and fell and went through the air. And I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be interesting. I'm hoping I'm going to be okay. At least I'm in the hospital, you know. But I fell, and I landed flat on my side. It's the kind of a thing where the cement's kind of suspended a little bit, you know, so it's a little bit bouncy. And I went, bam, you know. And I took a quick inventory and said, well, hip's okay. I think I'm okay. I laid there for, 30 seconds and kind of chuckled and said, whew, dodged that one, you know, and got up, and I didn't even end up with any big bruises or anything. So I got through it, but I'm aware that falls like that can really hurt them. They can really take you out. And so when I work with people, I see what goes on there. It's hard. You know, and people write about things. People write songs. I love songs. We're going to look at a song today. Okay, I'm a singer. I love singing. I've been involved in music a lot of years. I've been a choir director a little bit. I actually have two pianos for about 20 years on the side. I'm really not doing that anymore much. But I love music. I love singing. I love songs. I've written a few myself. You've never heard them, but that doesn't mean they're not pretty good. But people write songs about things, and a lot of times, what are a lot of songs about? Sad things, right? Sad songs. Why? Because that's a lot of our life, isn't it? That's a lot of what happens in life. One of my favorite singers is Neil Diamond. And I love one of his songs. You probably ain't going to guess which one it is, right? If we're talking about sad songs, what's it going to be? Song Sung Blue, right? I love that song. It's Song Sung Blue. Let's see, I wrote the words down so I wouldn't mess them up, but now I got to find the words. Anyway, let's see, what is it? Song Sung Blue, sleep weeping like a willow. That's part of what it says. Song Sung Blue, sleeping on my pillow. Funny thing, you can sing it with a cry in your voice, right? And before, as you sing it, what do you know? You simply got no choice. Some of that kind of works out. Is it a good thing to sing songs, some blues sometimes? Yep. I like Linda Ronstadt too. I like the song she says because it's from the soul. She says, I've been cheated, been mistreated. When will I be loved, right? You ever felt that? I have. Yeah. Those are good songs because they hit us right where we live. We can identify with them. How many Christian songs do you know like that? Very many? Nah, we don't sing those songs. Why? Because we don't want to make people feel bad. Now, they feel bad already, but we don't want to add to that, right? Well, I want to look today at a sleepy song, okay? A little bit. I'll let you know ahead of time. Psalm 73 comes out good, okay? It comes out good. You don't have to worry about that. But it is a song sung blue, and it's a process of somebody living real life. If there's anything I am, if you could ask Brian, I'm real, okay? I'm real. You know why? Because I live in the real world. I love working in a hospital rather than a church. Now, I was a pastor for some years. I'm involved in a church. I'm not anti-church. But church can be very theoretical, can't it? You know, God always wins. Everything comes out wonderful. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. All those things. And I found in real life, I can't always see that. It's not always obvious. Real life has its ups and downs, not just its ups, right? So when we can acknowledge that, it actually helps. I find with patients, I'm there to help normalize what's going on. I work with heart patients. I am a heart patient myself. And when I go see people who have heart surgery coming up, I just saw somebody yesterday who's having heart surgery. I said, "Are you a little anxious?" I said, "That?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, of course," I don't say, "Well, just trust Jesus and don't feel that." I say, "Well, of course you are. It's not your toe, right? You know, dealing with your heart. Why wouldn't you be a little anxious?" I had heart surgery, and you know what? It had my attention. Did I get through it? Yeah. Was God there? Yeah. Was it scary? Yeah. Because that's real life. So let's look at real life with somebody and see how we identify, okay? I'll tell you what, I'm going to confess something to you. I pray that God would bring some people here today who got some little bit of issues with some of this, okay? Because I want this to be encouraging to all of us. That's where we're really trying to go, is say, God, how can you help me when I got slippy parts going in my life? Sometimes we say, well, just stay positive. Don't sing any songs, any blue songs. We don't want that. We don't want that because we don't want to identify. And I say, well, I identify with that. And so let's try. Let's look at Psalm 73. We've already read parts of it, and it's a good song. Psalm, it's a psalm of Asaph. So Asaph wrote a number of psalms, 73, 74. He wrote like 10 right after this. And so that's interesting. We think, well, David wrote them all. No, David wrote a lot. Asaph wrote a number of them too. And this one is a good one. Now, I'm going to talk about three surelys here, okay? Three surelys. Let's look at these. Verse 1, surely God is good to Israel, okay? To those who are pure in heart. Now, this song that he's writing, that's the nut of what he's saying. That's the point. He's saying God's good all the time to good people, really is what he's saying. That's the conclusion he comes to. Well, you can read that many times in different songs, okay? Do we hear about God's goodness? Do we sing about God's goodness? Yeah. Why? Well, it's a theme that's there. It helps us. It encourages us. And then good old Asaph does something where we go, what? Look at the next verse. He says, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. I'm sorry, we don't want to hear that because that might discourage somebody. Well, what if by hearing that we go, really? This guy sounds honest. This guy sounds real. I want to hear this. I want to hear the story. We say, well, don't listen. I'll tell you what, it's in the Bible, right? Probably a good reason it's there. We're surprised by that sometimes. God only tells us good things. Well, he's saying, I was afraid I was going to fall down. Well, let's take a look at why. He says, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Really? Yeah, he says, I looked around and I saw rich, bad people, okay, getting away with it. And that's what's going on in their life. And that's what's bothering me. That's my slippy spot. You know what I would say as a chaplain to that? I wouldn't say, you shouldn't feel that. You know what I would say? Tell me about that. Tell me what's going on. You really want to hear me? Oh, yeah. I want to hear your story. Can you handle my story? Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter to me what you tell me. You're not going to blow me away. I can handle that. I've heard about every kind of story I think I can hear. And that doesn't bother me. Oh, okay. This guy's telling his story. He's putting it out there for us to read. Is that courageous? Oh, yeah. Is that helpful? Yeah, well, let's see if it is, okay? I'll tell you on a clue. Yeah, it is. But anyway, let's see that, okay? He said, now look at what he says, starting with verse 4. And let me ask you first, what pronoun is he using here about bazillion times in the next 9 or 10 verses? Just take a look there for a second. What pronoun is he saying again and again and again and again? They. Where are his eyes? On they, okay? Does that get us in trouble a lot of times? Boy, it does me, you know. Mom, Billy's getting to do this, and Mom's, Bill and Georgie's getting, and I'm not getting to do that, you know, or whatever. You know, I look and I see other people, and when I get so focused on them and what they're getting, and what else am I focusing on? What I'm not getting, right? It can really, really mess with my head. It really can. He says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not on the prayer list, right? We're not praying for them because they're sick. They're not sick. He says, therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters of abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? He says, that's what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. You think he's a little ticked here? Yeah. You think he's probably exaggerating some? Yeah. Because is it ever a case where somebody never has stuff? No. But when we look at somebody else's life, what do we usually see? We see what they want us to see, right? Do we know the stuff going on underneath? Do we know their, well, we might know some of their stuff. But it's easy to say, oh man, that person must be fine because they're rich, you know, or they must have everything because of this and because of that. But he's stuck on the theys. He's stuck on the other people. And he says, you know, it's bothering me. Now, so we'll talk about why it's bothering him. Doesn't that make you wonder, why in the world does it bother this guy so much? Why are you focused on those people? Well, that's his slippy spot. The interesting thing is, he's saying, God is good. I like that. Everybody knows that. But he says, this is why I'm frustrated. He says, the frustration is, life isn't what I thought it was going to be. I'm not seeing that. You know, we get taught life's going to be a certain way. And then is it always that way? No. Let me ask you this. How many of you would say everything in your life has worked out exactly like you thought it would, and that never have you been surprised or disappointed in your whole life? How many of you can say that? I don't see any hands. My mom and I, my mom's 91 and still pretty healthy, and she had me when she was 4. But anyway, my mom and I had a talk, and I said, you know, Mom, I think there's probably only like 9 people in this whole world who could say life's gone exactly like they thought it was. She said, yeah, that sounds about right. And I said, and they're all liars. And she said, yeah. Well, Asaph is unhappy because he's saying what I heard and what I see are different. Now, what did he hear as a Jew? God always, okay? And God never, those things, simple. And God you know, really wants us to obey him and so forth. And when we don't, guess what happens? It's not good news, right? The problem for him was, when is it not good news? Pretty soon, right? We used to kid Bible college about somebody say something, we would say, you know, we need to just step back about 10-foot circle. Say, why? Well, because when God strikes you with lightning, it's usually about that big, and I don't want to get hit because you just said something dumb. And I think maybe he thought, that's how God does it. God pays back people back right now in their life for the good and the bad. That's what the Jews believed. And, you know, that's kind of close. But is it always right now? Is it always when I want to see it? No. That's what messes him up. He's saying, I'm looking around, and I was under the understanding that I'm fine, you know, because I'm close to God, and these guys aren't. These guys, they're not just neutral people. They're anti-everything, okay? They're terrible people. They're crooks. They're all these, and they brag about it. And he says, it couldn't get any worse than that. And the problem is, what? What's God doing about it? Nothing. What's the other two words, though? Right now, right? Nothing right now. So I'm afraid God's never going to do anything, and their life's good, and my life's bad, and then where do we go with that? He's got something called Plum disease. I tell patients sometimes they have, you know what Plum disease? P-L-O-M. Poor little old me. Okay. I have Plum disease every once in a while. I say, it's okay to have a little bit of that, but if I spend all my time there, it kind of messes up what I'm seeing. Look at what the second thing he... This is what this leads to for him. Verse 13, the second surely. I want you to see how serious this is. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. Where in the world does he come up with that? Well, because he's looking at they and comparing with they and not really knowing their story. What's he really saying? I like this. I came up with this. I think you'll like it. He says, I've been good for nothing. Okay? I've been good for nothing because I thought if I don't toe the line in every area, God's going to zap me. And I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want all these things go on. I don't want terrible diseases. So I'll just keep all the rules, and it'll be fine. And then I look at this guy over here, and he's going, nah, 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 I get to do whatever I want. God, who cares about God? And you know what? He's rich, and I'm poor. He's healthy, and I'm sick. Does not compute, right? Does not add up. Doesn't make sense. There's a phrase that I like. I preached a message a long time ago. It was a really good one. Well, at least this idea was really good. I said, it's the problem of the remainder. I remember back in fifth grade. Well, I think it was fifth grade. Anyway, I was doing math and we were learning long division. Okay. And, you know, so it wasn't that hard. You took 42 and you divided 7 into it. And guess what? It came out every time. 6. That was great. You put 7 into 42, 6. 6 times 7 is 42. And then one day, you know what that dumb teacher did? He made us go 7 into 45. You know what? That didn't work. According to my understanding of math, or what my background, I went 7 into 45, go 6 times. Uh-oh. Something's wrong here. You know? And after a while, I finally went, 7 goes into 6, and then 45 is 6, and then I put 45 down below, and I put 0. So, see, it worked. It all came out even. Then I learned that we had to do, instead of that, it was 7 goes into 45, 6, and then a R3, remainder 3. Okay? It was the problem of the remainder. It didn't make sense to me. It's not the way I was taught first, anyway. All of us, and our life has remainders, doesn't it? Mine aren't yours. They aren't the same. But we have issues because it's not like we thought. And I want you to understand the depth of what this guy felt. It's easy for us to say, well, he's an idiot, you know, or he doesn't trust or whatever. And I would say, no, understand something. It hits at a deep area in his life, okay? And it crushes him in some ways. Or it's such a disconnect that he's saying, if I look at them and that's true, then how does that affect me? And he ends up making some poor compilations of things and saying, therefore, I'm wasting my life. Does anybody ever say that? Yeah. I came to that in my life because life was so disappointing. Because I had kept all the rules, okay? I came to faith in Jesus at 11, and I've always wanted to serve God. My whole family came to Christ at the same time. My dad went to Bible school when I was in high school. And then I did that too. I'm going to serve Jesus. And all the way through, I'm going to serve Jesus with my life. And I went to Bible college. And then I went on and got a bachelor's degree. And then I went on and got a 3-year master's. And I have a Greek New Testament minor. And I did 2 internships in churches. And I spent 5 years in ministry and got bombed. Not my own fault. Got very deceived and deeply wounded. So I spent 8 years in school and 5 years in ministry, and then, bam, and was not able to continue at that point. You know what? That doesn't taste very good. That doesn't feel very good. It says, wow, really? And I ended up, I was working in a grocery store to go through school and making $5.72 an hour. A wife and a new kid, and 5 years later, I needed a job badly and ended up back in a grocery store making 2.5 cents an hour more with 3 kids now, not 1, and driving 70 miles a day to work with a wounded wife and not knowing where to go. And I can say this. You kind of go, does not compute, right? This really doesn't add up very well, God. And so what does that say about me? Did I make a mistake? Did I miss something? Have I wasted my life? Now, I can say I understand that, and I understand those feelings, and I understand asking that question, okay? That doesn't mean a person doesn't have faith. We can say, oh, well, here's faith in God. No, I would say that's not, it means they do have faith in God. It means they are also honest. And they're saying, I don't get this. I don't see what this is right now. I say, yeah, well, that's because there's a lot of things we don't see, right? We don't know those things. How are we going to? This guy is honest about that. And then look what he says. He says, I've wasted my life, really, being a good guy, okay? Being a goody two-shoes. He says, I haven't done all the dumb stuff out there. I've chosen not to do that. Is that good? And he says, well, how does it make any difference? He says, I've missed a lot of things I could have done. And you think of the song that says, is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is. If there's no God or God doesn't care, do I need to care? Would anybody ever think that? Yeah. If you're honest, you'll look at that and you'll kind of have to weigh that. Now, is that dangerous? Ooh, yeah. Is that a dangerous place in your life? I was in a dangerous place in my life. And part of the reason that I'm still doing what I do is because that wasn't the end of the story. It never is. It wasn't for me. I can look back now. This year will be 20 years ago that I got really sick. After serving God, doing a bunch of stuff, and ended up with glaucoma and really bad heart failure. Bam, bam, in 1 week's time, both things. And then my wife had breast cancer right after that. And you're going, wow, where's this going now? I can say 20 years later, we're healthy And God's given me all these years doing what I really wanted to do. So, you know, we go partway through the thing, and it looks like everything's coming apart, and it's easy to go, what did I miss here? What's going on? Where's God? Oh, God's sitting there doing what he's doing, knowing what he knows. But I don't know what to do with it. So that's called the dark night of the soul. Don't think, you know, oh, terrible things for people to go through that. That's not true. The amazing thing is it can go somewhere cool. Look at what he says. He says, surely I've wasted my time. And then he says, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed this generation of your children. He did not say, where is God? You know, does God know? He heard that. He thought about that. And he said, nah, I can't say that. I'm not going there. He comes to the edge and he goes, nah, I'm not going there. But I know what it's like to get close. And then he says, I'm trying to figure this out. He said, when I tried to understand all of this, it was oppressive to me. It was a big weight. I'm trying to say there's a remainder here that I don't understand and I'm frustrated with it. What do I do? Do I give up? Do I curse God and die? Same thing Job's being asked. He says, no. When you're a follower of God and things don't work out, it's really hard. Okay? It's really hard, harder than if you're not. I mean that. When you actually believe that God gives a rip about you and cares about your life and wants to use you, and then that doesn't turn out very well, that's a lot harder than if I always just worked with Fred Meyer and never cared. You know? It's hard. And it makes you kind of wonder, where am I going with this stuff? And then he says, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. And all of a sudden, the thing that works for him is, oh yeah, it's this thing about time. Time. Time goes by, doesn't it? Did you know that I'm middle-aged? I'll prove that to you with math, okay? I am middle-aged as long as I live to 147. It's the truth. So I'm not that old. As the years go by, that old gets out there further, doesn't it? You know, I used to be 60s. Oh no, 60s in the rearview mirror. You know. But he looks at it and he goes, "I'm thinking these guys get away with all this stuff, and guess what? Wow, they don't." He says, "What's coming pretty soon for them? Death." I'll let you know something as a chaplain. The death rate has never changed. It's always been what percentage? 100, right? Anybody get out of this life alive? No, everybody dies. Heard of a guy who worked in a mortuary one time, mortician, say, I hear people say, well, if I die, he says, it's not if, it's when, right? Well, finally, this clicks for Asaph, and he goes, oh, yeah. This doesn't go on forever, just like God said. Okay. So the message from God isn't any different. It's just his looking at it goes, oh, guess what? What do you know? I'm the one who had that mixed up. I'm the one who turned and went the wrong way. Because when I tried to understand, now he says the third surely. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How they are destroyed, completely swept as a dream when it wakes. So when you arise, O Lord. Okay, what's the pronoun going on now? They? Well, they some, but they and you, God, he says, you are dealing with them. Right? All of a sudden, his vision changes because he moves another direction. And that's kind of cool, where he's going. He says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. He says, I was like a dog or an animal. You know, we have a dog. She's a cutie. She likes to think she can drive. She likes to sit right here, pushed up against me. And she'll stick her. She's only 11 pounds. She's a multi-poo. And she put her front feet on the steering wheel sometimes for about 2 seconds, you know. And then she moves off something else. She's never going to be able to drive. She's never going to understand any of that. He says, that's the way I was. I couldn't figure it out. I want to point out something really cool. I'm running out of time here, and I know that. This has really been fun to study. There's so much here. And we'll talk about a little bit more. But he says, I was senseless. Then he says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. Can you see a little change here? Here's a guy so worried about, I'm not getting as much as these other guys. And all of a sudden he's going, the only thing important to me now is God. Who are you and what have you done with Asaph? You know? Well, my life got changed because God's love, the reality of that, has somehow come in there and just overcome all my questions. And I've been able to say, I'm cool. Why? Because God's there. And he said, and I can say that and mean that, not just saying that because I'm supposed to say that. He says, my life is changed when I go through that. He says, so, and what he says at the end, he says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I'm a heart patient myself. And I often share that verse with patients who are people of faith. I'll say, this is what I've learned out of this. God, even when my heart is weak, God is my strength. You know, what a wonderful thing. Rather than saying, it's all up to me to come up with a little pile and do what I think, and then it's all gone. He says, as for me, it is good to be near God. Sometimes people think, I'm going to stay away from God as far as I can. I mean, I believe in him. I believe in Jesus. I want to go to heaven. But I really don't want that much to do with God because he might ask a bunch from me and I don't know what that means and I'd have to change things. And this guy says, no, God's the center of my life now. Westminster Catechism says what? The chief end of man is to what? Glorify God and do what? Enjoy his presence for 5 years. No, that's it. For 10 years. No. For how long? God, really? You mean that? You serious about that? He said, yeah, I am. What's your remainder? I don't know what that is. What are the things in your life that bug you? Like the things that bug me? They're real. And we can say, I need you to just skip over those because they don't bother me. And I would say, that's not true. Does God want me to deal with it? Yeah, he wants me to come and ask my questions. Questions? Am I supposed to have questions? Yeah. There are lots of people in the Bible who have questions. And that's the challenge. We'll talk some more about some of this. I was afraid I was going to have so much, and that's true. We could sit here. I'd be happy to sit here for 2 hours, but we're not going to do that. But it's so exciting to see. You know what blows me away? It's when somebody's that bent out of shape, and God can change how they see things. And then all of a sudden, the pieces come together and they're going, yeah, it really is true. See, when I don't know if it's true or not, I need to get that worked out. Does that make sense? It makes sense that I need to be able to ask my questions. I do that with patients all the time. I ask them, what's going on? You know, and be able to listen. People of faith who are bent out of shape over things, and I love to see people like that. You know why? Because I can help them, okay? I don't look down on them. I go, been there, done that. And they go, really? Yeah, okay. When we can come and be open and honest, God can heal us, God can help us, and we end up moving some new directions. That is the hope. So the struggles that we have, I'm just partly saying, there's hope in that, folks. We got questions. Next week, we're going to look at the two questions. There's one specific question that I get asked all the time. And I'm going to say, you think about that, and I'll ask you next week. You come up with a suggestion of what that is, okay? What's the number one question Gordon get asked as a chaplain? We'll talk about that a little bit, okay? Because I like to talk about real life, because when we do that, we can make the adjustments we can do so that we are there with God. I want to say one thing in closing here. I want to say a bunch of things, but I'm just going to say one thing. A friend of mine, years ago, we played basketball together once a week. And something good was going on in my life right then. And I said, Dave, I told him the thing that's going on. And I said, God is good. And he looked at me and he said, Gordon, God is always good, whether I'm experiencing that right now or not. And I said, thank you. God is always good. That's the message that's here all the time. We don't understand sometimes what we see. It's always because God is good. Okay? It's always because God is good. I can't always see that, but when I can trust that, then I can open up to God and say, God, do what you do in my life. And he says, okay, watch me use you. Watch me use you as a story of redemption, of good news. Okay? That's what God wants to do through our lives. Let's pray together. Loving, gracious God, we are blown away that you love us and that you use us and that you enjoy us. We don't understand that. That you say, hey, I love you. I thank you for what you do. And I want you to know that I'm going to take you home and we're going to have a great time. It's going to be cool. Lord, help us to look down the road and see that you are God. And we know that you do what you do in your own time. And so we can trust you. Help us to do that today. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen.